Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to the WordPress Way, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! So here's the deal. The other day, I was thinking about the three C's: community, commenting, and coding. Okay, I lied. I wasn't thinking about coding at all. I don't think about it much. It's never in my face. I know it's there. I know people do great stuff with it. I hear people talk about it. So the only reason I put that in there is it just sounded better, because I really wanted to talk about community, commenting, and blogging. But it wasn't 3C, so it just didn't sound as good. But that is what has been on my mind lately. Well, actually, I lied again, because that wasn't on my mind lately. It's always on my mind. I mean, that's all I think about is this stuff. So I got to quit lying about things and just get to the point here that it's really something I am thinking about, like I said, a lot, those three things. And as a result, I got into some conversations. I had a conversation actually with Bryce from Metric. I don't know if any of you know him, but he was on the podcast lately. We were talking about community, the builder community, where they can connect and talk. We threw a few ideas around. Then it moved into another whole thing because of some stuff going on. And of course, I had to have a conversation with Ronald, one of our hosts here, Ronald Jizzle. And we always have great conversations. And we started talking about this stuff. And we thought, why don't we just take it live and talk about it? So I twisted Ronald's arm, and he's popping back in to actually... He called it, what did you call this? Do you remember what you called this, Ronald?
The different ideas. I think my latest one was like unpacking blogging with Bob, or was there another reference to that? It'll come to me. But I'm really excited actually just to sort of discuss it live and ask you a few questions, like what the goals are, and you know, bring it back to me and see where it lands. And maybe at the end of this call, this recording will come up with a final solution, the way you'll have to sort of give a direction and go for it.
Yeah. I was actually looking back. You called it a blog storm.
Blog storm, yeah, because we were doing a brainstorm. So everything around blogging, it's a blog storm. Yeah.
So we're just going to go for it here. And I hope, like Ronald said, we'll put some ideas together, thoughts, just what's on our mind. And I'll set the stage that there was a point where I took the blog off because some part of my brain said, oh, I wanted to focus on audio and have everybody focus on the audio when they get there. And of course, I started to look at the site and thought it felt, I think I wrote this somewhere, it felt naked. It was like, where's a blog? You know, this is conversational, this is community, this is what it's all about. So in turn, we're working on bringing back the blog to Do the Woo. And that's where this came, because I had another idea. I had an idea about a newsletter, and all this stuff kind of meshed together. And Ronald deals with my crazy thinking and my train of thoughts and stuff. I brought up this newsletter idea, and only because I keep hacking away at that thing. I've done that for so many years and never really progressed. What are your thoughts? I mean, you know, you gave me some feedback. We won't go into a lot of the details there, but just give me a thought.
Yeah. The thought that came to mind is newsletters are great, but newsletters or anything email, they're notifications of something that's bigger. And so if you write a newsletter with like long form, I don't know what is long form these days, but it, you know, something that gives you everything in a newsletter, you don't need to do anything other than reading the newsletter. That's great if you're in the moment and in the moment of reading a particular topic, but also on a device that makes it pleasant to read it. And once it's buried in your inbox, kind of gone, difficult to get it back. And, you know, that moment, and when you send out, you know, hundreds of thousands of newsletters, what you see in the stats is like within the first couple of minutes, you see really a high spike of the opening rate, and then it sort of diminishes pretty quickly after that, you know, even within the same 24 hours. Even if you have like an intelligent system that sends the emails at the best time, or it thinks it's the best time with the highest opening rate, I do always wonder what the engagement rate is. So In other words, you send a newsletter, you think, oh, I have a huge exposure, but how engaged are readers in your newsletter? If it's a call to action to click through to something, that's really easy. But maybe it's like, oh, it's an email from Bob. Okay, great. It's quite long. I'm not, you know, I'm doing something else. I'm switching between 15 different tabs and different windows and other things are happening at the same time. Like, are you really like absorbing that content and engaging it? It's really difficult to do that in a newsletter. And so it's great to have a notification from Bob, but maybe that notification should be, hey, there's much more content in the blog. And here's your weekly reminder to explore. And here are the things that have been happening or been said by our presenters and guests. And guess what? If you're interested in coding, here's a category, everything around coding, or here's a category, everything around community and so on. And that got me thinking, like, hey, there's so much content. You're at, whatever, coming up to 500 podcasts now?
Yeah, we're just at, this will probably be, I'm not exactly the number, but we're at around 500, in the 530s.
Oh, so we passed that, yeah. Amazing. So apart from me, all the other super interesting guests, some of them I've interviewed as well in the past, they all have really interesting things to say that it would be great to have those quote snippets or even get them to write something on your blog. Anyway, that got me really quite excited about the opportunities and bringing back blogging, which is the core of WordPress.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, like I said, I kind of have Ronald there to smack me alongside the head every once in a while. I get these little ideas and I'm doing them for maybe one specific reason, or I'm thinking, you know, how can I make this part better? And then I realize I have things inside there that are already bubbling on the site. One of the things you brought up, I'm going to kind of flip back here, is you had brought up what Matt Mullenweg said, and he said it on his, I think he said it on his blog post about WordPress turning 21. And then I said it again in his talk at WordCamp Europe just a couple months ago. And let's see, I pulled up the blog post and he gave 11 things that he's just been thinking about. He says people should be thinking about. One of them was blogging, commenting, and pingbacks need to be fun. Static websites are fine, but dynamic ones are better. Almost every site would be improved by having a blog or a great blog. So, you know, when I looked at that, it was like, I thought, man, you know, back, 2010 or so when I was blogging, that was kind of the heyday of blogging and everybody was commenting. And it is, it keeps nagging at me, this thing he said. And it's not just what he said then. It was like reaffirmation is what it was to me, that what's been on my mind. So, when we started the new site, when we did the redesign to do the, when we launched that in March and then officially at WordCamp Europe, we decided to open up comments again. And of course, that's always a challenge. And I think there's this thing inside of me that just, I won't give up on it. Like, comments are there. There's got to be something happening. So, you know, I've been publishing pingbacks and stuff and some different things. And it's true. It's like, there's so many ideas and thoughts going through my head.
Yeah. I think you touched on something really important, and that's referencing to Matt, but it just occurred to me that, you know, WordPress is 21 years old, and WordPress has been now, and not everybody started 21 years ago, but let's say 15 years. So for 15 years, we've had a number of new publishing platforms, mostly social media, come. I mean, they're still here. They didn't go away, but your audience might have moved to different platforms over time. And there are definitely many, many, many more. And when you think of the next 15 years, are any of these still going to be there and relevant? But your blog will always be there. So you build up your diary, your journaling in a way over all those years. And that's owning that content that as an asset. It's huge. So even if you don't blog for the sake of SEO, still within your own control that you can reuse on purpose and people can search for it and find different things. And I think that's something that really like the longer we do this stuff, the more valuable it is that you really own that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And for me, it was, I think one of my challenges lately was I had the site BobWP and,
that was huge, by the way, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we were talking about that because I had, my initial thoughts were kind of going back and forth between the two. So I would repurpose some of the content on Do the Woo over at BobWP.com. And as much as I thought that was a good strategy, it didn't really play out like I thought. And of course, Ronald, you know, when we talked, he kind of hinted like maybe that content should be on Do the Woo. I did think in...
Can you describe a little bit of your like first thought of the content strategy when you were doing BobWP? What were you publishing and like how was engagement? Because I know some of it was testing plugins and so on, and probably old versions that are totally irrelevant. That's why you don't feel it, not feasible anymore. But yeah, maybe you can share a little bit of it.
So the whole thing with BobWP, what it's always been a piece of something. And back in the day, I would do tutorials and stuff. And that's why a lot of this content no longer exists, because it was really mostly about stuff that was at the time, you know, and that stuff became outdated very quickly unless I went in and updated it, which I did. And when I actually separated Do the Woo, the podcast that was originally and started on BobWP, it was for that reason, because I knew that I wanted to focus on Do the Woo. I wanted to build a brand more around that, or build the buzz, or get people directed to that. And so my strategy was always, I always had BobWP there, and I did a little bit of blogging here and there. And then I came to the point where, like I said, I started thinking, well, should I start cross promoting the two, because the BobWP brand is kind of known, it's out there, which seemed like a good idea. My thought was that, yeah, I could do a lot of back and forth, because some people will go to BobWP and then I can send them over to Do the Woo, give them a snippet of that. Actually, it didn't work as I strategically planned, because there wasn't as much traffic going to BobWP anymore, because I kind of let it mellow out, which was on purpose, because I wanted my focus on Do the Woo. So that was how I kept looking at this and kept looking at this. And I've actually made a decision going through all this. I'm at a point in life, people can kind of say you're at a certain age or you're at a point in life where, okay, what's going to be the next thing? Well, mine is really Do the Woo is my focus. So I thought this is where I need to be all the time on Do the Woo, because it's always going to be, even the experiences I can share, I'm doing my own thing over the however many years, can always fit somewhere there. And as a result, I just recently made the decision to take down BobWP as a site and use my Gravatar BobWP as my basically as my website now for BobWP.
It's like your business card.
Yeah. And that was a long process. And a lot of people have done that. And I feel like that's going to be the best thing, because I can now focus directly on Do the Woo. I moved some of the content back over from BobWP over on Do the Woo because it fits there and stuff. I just done some of the old posts and stuff. So that was that whole thinking through process, you know, and in the middle of that, we talked about it and stuff. And we had Ronnie from Gravatar, and listening to him even occurred to me, you know, this is such a great thing, because it's just, I can send people where they want to go, you know?
Yeah. It's like a massive signpost that's attached to like on top of your head, isn't it? Like, are you business? Are you here for pleasure? Are you send me money, or are you just curious who I am? And then like, there you go. Just go wherever you need to go. Yeah. Just one thing.
Yeah.
Nice. So question for you then is, do you feel that BobWP might have served a different audience to where you are now with Do the Woo? Is there I know you've moved some of the content, so there's a little bit of an overlap, but I wonder if there's even a strategy where you say, hey, there's some probably personal stuff that might not always be suitable for the Doodaroo audience. And even if I write just one blog post per year, it doesn't matter. It's just there. So I have a space that I can write, I can publish, and that's okay. And, you know, for everything else, there is Doodaroo.
Yeah. You know, I thought about that. And I want the Bob WP brand now to be the gateway to Doodaroo. So that's why I kept thinking when I looked at the site, it's like, you know, I had people, you know, you can go to Doodaroo, you can see where I do this and all this stuff. But I felt like it's kind of its own little piece there. And honestly, I started to realize that I was trying to force myself. And it felt like the right move, something in my gut. And, you know, that's kind of how I've always done things. And maybe, you know, sometimes I regret it or something. But for now, I just feel like, because I basically have some content somewhere still on my WordPress.com blog. And, you know, I can always revive that sometime.
Yeah, it probably makes a great archive that even, you know, 10 years out, like I did that, here's a photo of me and whatever. And then, you know, it's still there. I think that becomes really a nice way, like your own tool of bringing back something that might be relevant even later, even if to ruminate on something. I also have another question then. When you think about the content for Doodaroo, like how do you think about that? So do you want to write for your audience, or do you want how do you want them to engage and bring them in and get them to engage with the Doodaroo brand?
You know, that is the fun part to think about, but the challenge, I think. It's, you know, for me, the site where I've moved my whole mindset is that blog becomes an arm of how Doodaroo is. And that is, you know, having hosts that have already shown interest come in and write guest posts. And they can, or having even a guest come in and do it. But as you and I talked about before, and I think you alluded to it a little bit, is how that conversation can be carried from a audio podcast or somebody that talks about something in a podcast and says, you know, I'm doing this, you know, 5 months later, they do it. Do they want to come in and write a little bit about it, you know?
Yeah. Well, what came out of it? Like what's the outcome of that initial podcast?
It can tie in really easy and kind of make this circle back and forth between the content and how to get people there and engaged, aside from thinking of, you know, creating a forum or, you know, some membership or all the crazy stuff that's available to us that I don't even want to touch on. It's all through that commenting and how to get people, how to drive them there. And that's, you know, through social, it's different ways. There's different things that I've discovered with Jetpack now that we're using that for a lot of our stuff, that there are things I want to test with that and try to drive people back to leaving comments and having conversation. There's some stuff I even talked with somebody from Jetpack at WordCamp Europe, and we can threw a couple ideas back and forth and we're continuing that conversation. So I'm thinking of some different things. I've had a few other people suggest things or actually ask for things that you know, this might be an interesting way to leave a comment, and how that can, without giving any of a way, because I don't want to say I'm going to do it and then I don't end up doing it, but getting people to go between the podcast and the blog and keeping that conversation flowing in some way and somehow interjecting the comments in all of that. And it's not going to be an easy task.
Different ways, isn't it? Because you have, on one hand, you really want to engage with the podcast. You want to listen to, you know, every word that's being said. But there are times when you might also just want to read the TLDR of that podcast. And I could say, okay, that podcast probably is not for me, but I'm glad I've read sort of the headlines into it. Like, you know, are you going to commit yourself to a soccer match? I'm calling us soccer because our international audience. Soccer match for 90 minutes or almost 2 hours. which is probably a lot of kicking balls back and forth. Or are you going to say, now, give me the 5-minute highlight, that's enough. And if the match was absolutely fantastic with quality soccer football, I'm going to go in and watch the full thing. Or if it's a team or a category that you support, I'm definitely want to listen or watch the whole thing. So I think the block is also a little bit of a bridge between the full commitment or just a really short version of that. Or if you have been intrigued by the podcast, the block could be a way to express your gratitude, your follow-up question, sharing it with somebody else, because from there you have the links to the podcast. I mean, there's so many different ideas to really use the podcast as the center of it all, that again, like gravity, signposting to everything and everything around that particular topic, and maybe, you know, write about references of other speakers or podcasts made in the past, which you may not have discussed in the podcast itself. So I get really excited about this stuff.
You're right, because when I go through any transcript, and it's kind of what I was doing with Bob WP a little bit, is it's like one question is a post in itself. Somebody has given you a direct answer to one specific problem or one specific challenge. But within those transcripts, there is tons of information that can be pulled out and be very, you know, in themselves are little nuggets, I call them, you know, gathered throughout that are standalone, because they really tell you something right there. Maybe, you know, even something you can take action on or something. And by itself, sometimes you miss those things, because like you said, you're listening to this long podcast or, you know, 45 minutes, and that little piece comes in there and then it's gone.
Yeah, and you want to maybe reference that to somebody else. It's like, oh, was that 23 minutes or 28 minutes? And then it's kind of, you know, lost. They're going to listen to the whole thing. Yeah, maybe busy. But if the highlights are sort of referenced, quoted into a blog post, yeah, that's a good way to share that. So I was going to ask probably two questions. Like, I know one of the biggest reservations to start a blog is your time commitment. And I think in our discussion, I've touched a little bit on that. It's like, you know, don't commit yourself to a weekly or a daily something. Just whenever it's right, whenever you feel like it. And quite often a newsletter, where you say, hey, I have a weekly newsletter, that's pretty tough to always fill a newsletter with something insightful every single week. To the point that people actually, you know, might even be turned off by it, because it's like the same stuff you read five times over everywhere you know, in the WordPress ecosystem. So on one hand, you have like the time commitment, which is really tough, especially if you have, you know, busy schedule and you have like 5 recordings in one day. It's like, how can you commit yourself to writing these blog posts? Like, maybe there are extra tools. And then the second part is like publishing. And I know you alluded to that earlier. Like, how do you get people then to read it? And how do you get to publish it? I'm glad that you mentioned Jetpack, because they have some superb publishing tools across many different networks.
And I think that is the challenge, because nothing absolutely drives me more nuts than going to read a post, and at the end of the post, they say, we would love for you to leave a comment over on X, and they give you a link about this post. And I'm like, now you're making me go back over there. But, you know, everybody tends to do that because that's where they feel all the conversations. But also, it's a huge mess of stuff that just goes by quickly. I mean, you need to do it, but the commitment I think some people spend on social is way beyond. I mean, even though they feel there's a lot of engagement, they're looking at their views. You know, this was viewed by, you know, 10,000 people. This is great. Well, how did that all play out? You know, what did you really get out of those 10,000 views? What engagement was there?
That's a really, I'm going to put that forward, but you know, you have, when you publish something to Twitter, to Facebook and Instagram, it would be nice to have a link to those particular posts, but also like a little counter of what the engagement is on those, or whether like 15 comments or 200 comments. It could be quite intriguing to actually go and discover that, or even have some of that be reposted into the comments section of the actual blog, to sort of bridge that data. I don't know how easy that is, but that's a really good food for thought, which you just shared.
Yeah. And somebody just shared recently a person that is using the Fediverse thing, you know, pulling in content and stuff, but on their site, they're pulling in all their, basically their feed of everything they say out there. And it's all living on their site as a, you know, one page is a long feed. I know that next time anybody's at a WordCamp and you want to have a nice lengthy conversation about all of this kind of social stuff, find Robert Windisch from Side. He's thinking, how can we make WordPress a social platform? And that means, you know, your blog and stuff like that. And he has a lot of really, I mean, he will talk your ear off about it, but he has a lot of interesting ideas and he's kind of on the mission himself. And that kind of brings it in, you know, how do you tie this all together? How do you still make your site the place where people will go to? And I think we've gotten out of that habit.
The Data Liberation Project, actually, I didn't, probably not excelling as far as we want. It's not always about moving site to a different platform, but it's also pulling in information from other platforms into your own site, whether it's private or in case of WooCommerce, it could be moving data from shipping platforms, accounting platforms, but also public, like comments from the relevant comments from social media into your own site. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, what I said earlier, like that, if everything you did or published is on WordPress that you can totally control with your own tools and what it looks like, how amazing is that? Like, how many issues it would have prevented? I think people will start to realize that as things mature. You know, WordPress is always there and will always be there. You know, we're even selling a 100-year plan, so I'm pretty confident that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and I think there is. I think there's, even though some people really dedicate themselves to maybe a certain platform or feel that even though they still have a site, that more and more people are starting to think this can't go on or continue this way. There's a bit of frustration, I think, on some people's level and a bit. I mean, I've even, you know, cut down my time on social just because I feel like I'm just, yeah, it's just, it's too much anymore. I still depend on RSS. That's how I keep up on everything, is my RSS feed, and that I go in and check all the time. That's the easiest way for me to do it and still the best way.
Controlling what comes into your inbox, what you read, what newsletter you subscribe, which blog do you want to get into your feed is super important, that you take control over your own life. I noticed that with my own kids, how, you know, with certain social media profiles, how destructive it can be. And it, we don't know quite what the result is going to be in 10, 20 years time and how their attention span is going to be. But these are all challenges that we start to see the tip of the iceberg. I just want to go back, because we brushed over that, like creating the content, like writing the content. And I know AI tools are big and they've been around now for quite a few years. And you know, blogging, you could almost just do it with a couple of prompts. What are your thoughts on that, like using AI tools and, you know, in the broadest way, Paul?
You know, it's, for me, I personally, I don't use it to create any original content. You know, I've sometimes asked for a few ideas, and even then, it's very rarely. Where I use it the most is repurposing content. And that means existing content. And I have exactly that through the transcripts. So my transcripts, to give you an idea of my workflow with the transcripts, which kind of makes sense with the, kind of leads into other content, is when I get a transcript, I have it done through rev.com, through their AI. And I go through and I correct some of the, you know, like names, brands.
Yeah.
And then I take that same transcript and I run it through ChatGPT, and I tell it to just find any spelling errors or small grammatical errors. Sometimes you have to be careful with the prompt, or it'll actually start eliminating parts of the transcript. So I try to keep it to just really small things, which that usually fixes quite well. And from that, I'll ask it to give me one or two paragraph like intro to the,
yeah.
And it's never written exactly like I want. So I use it as a basis to just do something. And then I'll ask it for some takeaways, key takeaways, which is where I think it's a lot better at. And that's the best use of it is on existing content, not on creating original content. And then I would go through and make sure it reads right and take out the word delve, which AI seems to love so much. Everybody delves into everything, and it just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But that's where, personally, and I think where it works best. I'm at an advantage because I basically have original content through the audio. I just need to have it transcribed and then work with that content. But original stuff still, for me personally, has to come from my brain.
Yeah, you could teach the LLMs to be more like Bob. And if you keep teaching it with your prompt, probably can get much better in weeks and months to come. But that does take time. You need to learn that as well. But that's really interesting. I mean, even just a few years back, I recall like you would send off your recording to be transcribed by somebody. And it would be quite an expensive server. And compare that now with these LLMs that... It's an amazing value and so much faster and almost instant.
Oh, yeah. And it's something, yeah. For years and years, I paid Rev to do human transcripts, and that budget became higher and higher as I did more content, obviously, and more podcasts.
Yeah, right. And then, like, a little bit unpacking the part of publishing to where your audiences are, where your tribe is at. But I know in your case, you have so many new audiences and communities across the globe speaking different languages. Like, do you track that? Do you analyze that? Or you don't even go that far? It's like, right, here it is. There are a few ways to find it.
Yeah, I've tried to do it. And there's never a rhyme or reason for whatever happens with any content. I mean, you know, a certain spike in listen. And sometimes you try to track it and you think, was there somebody that just happened to share it out there somewhere that you don't know about? You know, there's no way you can track it because suddenly it's like just out of the blue there, you know, you'll have like 5-6 times as many listens one day as you did for the last 5 days or something. And you can go and look at that topic, and often the topic doesn't make sense either. What made this happen? Or was it shared internally somewhere?
How do you feel about others writing on your blog or for you? Is that something, I know you talked about a little bit, but what are your thoughts around that? Like, how far do you want to extend it? You want to keep it only within like co-host or anybody that's been on the podcast? And even to the point where you almost could monetize a way, because if anybody that publishes on your platform with the audience that you build up, there is some value to that.
Yeah, one of the wonderful things I have is I have a group of co-hosts. If I have an idea, and this is how the newsletter thing, this is exactly what I did with that. And, you know, I can bounce an idea off. And when I bounced the idea of bringing a blog back right away, several of them were like, oh, I'd love to guest post, which, you know, it's not easy to get people to guest post because, you know, it's tough enough for them to write content for themselves. So for sure, the hosts, to me, a no-brainer, especially if they want to follow up or write about one of the shows they've recently done. The guests almost are a second no-brainer because the opportunity to give them to follow up on something or to add to the conversation, say, you know, wow, after the conversation, I thought about this one piece, or I thought, you know, maybe they want to elaborate on one thing they were asked. They answered it, you know, 1 minute, but they think I have a lot more to say. So those kind of things, I think it's ideal. The podcast is run by the community. I mean, I do all the grunt work, but, you know, I have hosts like you. I bring in guest hosts and all these guests. And I want the blog to be that too, as far as open guest spots. But I'm going to be very selective. You know, I don't want like tutorials. I don't want them writing about their product.
It's not the audience that you've built up. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And get the feedback as well. Like in the bottom of the blog, like have some sort of rating tool, you know, is this useful or how would you rate this content? And sort of kind of use that as a way of working where, like, depending on the number of readers, then the feedback that you get is better. Provide the content that readers are interested in. The other thing that's all across my mind, like working with user levels within WordPress, publisher, and editor, and admin, like whether certain speakers who might want to follow up on things or even add a supportive blog post, whether they have some sort of levels that they can edit and own that piece of content.
Yeah, I guess I could say get in the groove of how I do this with the post. And I still want it to be that community-oriented piece. And I want them to feel like they have a bit of control over that. So it's an interesting thing to think about, because I think that's an important part.
Yeah, it's that community that you build up, and it's also back to the comments and empowering some writers to control and manage the comments and the conversation. And that's like bringing that back. And it then becomes not quite a forum, but it is that engagement, not just between the author and a few comments. And that probably brings in more folks to then want to comment, because they can get the audience with the speaker, with the writer, and leave some nice words or ask further questions, like what did you mean on, with this quote, or does it also apply to X, Y, and Z? The other cool thing I found with the Jetpack tool, like the creating the social media images. So when you publish that something, did you see that? Like you add your featured image and then a bit of text, and it like within the post itself, it generates a social media image that's formatted for the different platform. Again, it's like one of those little hacks that just make it so much easier to create a content, publish it, and not be dragged down with, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. And then weeks pass, you still haven't published it. Because having that threshold as low as possible to write and publish, I think is key to just keep going. It doesn't matter. If it's not perfect, even if it's a slight mistake, update it. Yours,
Exactly.
And just going back on the newsletters, because we have to bring that back in, because that was the original idea. It's like, I'm going to start with a newsletter. And now we're sort of really like focusing on blog and all the advantages. There's still a place for newsletters. Where do you see that sort of fall into place?
You know, what I visualize in my head for a newsletter, and ideally what I like is, I want to keep as much of this content on the site and drive people and have it as a teaser. And, of course, as it has been, or I guess you don't call it a newsletter, but, when people get notified of a post, just knowing this is a content and you can go back through and listen to what you want or read what you want, but also is how to have that content go out automatically, but also be able to add a little custom content to it to make sure that people, this is how you can more easily comment, or by doing this and make it a little bit more visible, add little snippets of something in there that.
Yeah. Quotes from the community, like, Ron said this on X, and that followed up in the comments here, and that got some great conversation going. Get engaged in this if you care about this stuff. Or here's a quote that got the community talking, and it was referenced here and there. And yeah, it's also a good way to introduce other platforms within the own ecosystem. Because if you have a guest speaker from a Woo ecosystem or from a third party developer, like it's nice to be able to reference that in a newsletter, I guess.
And I think there's a lot of potential, but I don't want to make the newsletter, like you said, this is kind of more of a prompt than newsletter. And what I really want to do is when I get this all kind of in place and things kind of moving along, my next endeavor is to get Matt Mullenweg on. I'd love to just talk with him about blogging comment and pingbacks.
Yeah. And do you know who is also fantastic? I don't know if that, he should bring in a guest, Tim Parrott. And I know he and Matt have shared so many ideas around blogging, like long form, short form. Also Seth Godin, I've listened to some podcasts around like how easy it is to share something or not at all. Really the thought process behind blogging. And I think Matt is pretty good at that. Like he can share something very short, like one paragraph, and it's out there, or some really long bits of text. But it's the short ones that sometimes take way more time to think that through. It's very easy to talk and write paragraphs and paragraphs. At some point, people will disengage and you kind of lost them, but keeping it super short and to the point, that's a real honor.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what I'm thinking about too, is, you know, a lot of this. And I think the site is ripe for that because there's a lot of content we can share that is short and to the point rather than just going on and giving 11 tips of whatever. I mean, those have its place.
Yeah. And here's another thing. You're building up international communities and having the content subscribed or even the blog post, but having it with Google now, it's so easy to have your full page translated as well. It's almost instant. Well, it is instant, which is, you know, a great way to repurpose content.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
And both ways, you know, if you have somebody writing in Spanish, that it's also accessible to English speakers or to German speakers. And yeah, that's probably something that's not talked about a lot, but super easy.
That would be really interesting because I'd like to open that up because we've done that to some effect with the one podcast where we have the community come in and talk about their own WordPress community in their locale and in their native language. And so they're actually talking to their community. That's another whole piece of it. And I think it is. You're right. I know there's podcasts in the space that does the podcast in several different languages. They actually have somebody do it in, you know, four or five languages, a little bit of the news, WordPress news. And I think there's something there to be looked at for sure, because we're a huge community.
I haven't checked the figures, but I would sort of maybe, you know, 60-75% of Woo users don't live in a country where English is the first language. So maybe 2/3 who don't have English as the first language. They speak English, but to truly engage with them. Anyway, I guess we've come to the conclusion that blogging is pretty cool. I think there is blogging for anybody, for yourself, whether it's a personal diary that you have public and then you have your personal one that you keep private, whether it's for yourself or for your business, for your e-commerce site. I think blogging for the sake of SEO definitely has value, but I don't think that should be the prime goal to blog for, because then you end up in not very pretty or very well organized content there to hit certain keywords. And I think that puts people off. But write it for your, like you do with social media, keep it short and to the point with a link to your product, to your podcast, you know, wherever you want people to go to or the call to action. I think that probably has a good reason to consider it again.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely, you know, I think we've touched on enough different thing given, you know, our thoughts and some of the direction to the Woo might go. So if there is not a perfect post to come in and comment, anybody listening to this, this is a post, because we've talked about a lot of things and I'm sure everybody that listened to it has actually thought, well, you know, yeah, that makes sense. Or nope, this is the way I would do it. Or this is how it works for me.
Yeah. And maybe that's the comment call out, like what other forms of blog post or good examples of other forms of blog post, like rich content, whether it snippets of code or a gallery photos or sound snippets or maybe a poll to get voting. You know, that's all can all be part of a blog post. It doesn't always have to be just paragraph or words.
Right, exactly. So we're going to encourage everybody listening now to come and leave a comment.
I'm inspired now. I'm going to revisit my own site, which I haven't touched since I started working out some athletes. It's quite a few years now. It's all very well preaching about it, but maybe we should all get back to blogging. I think it's a good way.
So, well, this has been great. And yeah, everybody, hope you enjoyed it. And let us know your thoughts. Go into the post, leave a comment. And
it's been a great blogstorm, Bob.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll be right alongside there, at least in spirit, one way or another. So,
yeah, I need to write one of the first posts or co-write to see what it's like.
All right, Ronald. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And yeah, do let us know what you think about all this stuff we were talking about. All right. Thank you all.
Thanks, Bob.